You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives. This is Ashley Burgess here in the house. It's 570 KLIF. And I think a lot of people really rejoiced on some stuff that we talked about last Sunday. We were really discussing life assessment, like what truly makes us happy, what truly makes us unhappy, and trying to figure out whatever it is that we're dealing with. I hope everybody can bear with us this evening. Apparently, we are experiencing some technical difficulties, so if you hear anything crazy, just know that it's the computer and not us. So anyway, we know last week we were really talking about how the majority of everybody you kind of speak with, discuss with, is having some sort of unhappiness, either in a buildup of a career or work or relationship, you know, marriage, responsibility, whatever it might be. You know, we hear a lot of people complain a lot of times about life in general. They don't really know what it is. Or they complain about their marriage or not being married or being tied down, you know, as well as children and not being able to pursue one's goals and dreams, which is a lot of problems for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that a lot of times we don't really think about our life as being quick. We think about our life as always going to be there. We'll always have time to do whatever we want to do. We'll always have time to get anything we want. But really, if you think about it, life is really fast. And you can stop and look around once in a while and you might actually miss it. So at 85, you don't want to be sitting in a recliner having the best years of your life behind you and hasn't done what you wanted to do. There's so many things that you regret. There's thoughts that you have. There's wonderments that you have in your life wondering, did I do the right thing? Was I doing the right thing? Am I happy? What is it? Because at that point in time, who really cares? It's about you. And I think a lot of times people stay in situations because they feel it's the right thing to do, or they stay in a marriage because it's the children, or they stay in whatever situation it might be. And in those situations, we cause havoc in our life. And not only do we cause personal havoc and personal unhappiness, but we really cause unhappiness and havoc in other people's lives because of our unhappiness. So if we're in a marriage and we're unhappy, we're normally going to push that unhappiness on our spouse. Just like if we stay in a marriage for our children, I hate to say it, but the children really know that you're not that happy, okay? I mean, I know that you think you're doing something right, and it's commendable to some degree. But, you know, if they know that the love is kind of not there, don't you think that that's also going to be extrapolated in their life later on, and possibly that might be some baggage that child's going to carry? So, you know, this is important things to discuss. We're going to continue to discuss this right now. And we have some really great people in the studio joining me tonight at the Studio Roundtable. We have Matthew Curry. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Ashley. It's great to be back.
Good to have you. Good to have you. I'm glad that you're here to discuss this assessment stuff. I know that you and I both took this.
Last week was a really great week, and I'm super excited about tonight.
I'm looking forward to it. We have Brent Paxton in the studio as well. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good to have you. Glad you could join us this week. And we also have Gerard Osborne. Gerard, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Just blessed to be here, you know. So we're discussing the whole concept of how to find happiness and how to figure out what it is in our life that is creating this kind of havoc, you know. And I think, Matt, you and I were talking about this last week about, you know, how you have to really honestly assess your life and find out what part of it is just not working.
Yeah, there was so much feedback from last week's show. I mean, it's just inspiring to know that so many people are hurting, but yet so many people are listening and looking for advice. And, you know, I really thank you for that last week's topic. And so do many other people. As soon as I got home that night, you know, I sat down, I wrote down, you know, five things that I'm thankful for. And it's just something I'm trying to practice daily. When I'm in the shower, I think to myself, you know, what am I thankful for? What do I have instead of what don't I have? I think it's, you know, it's a start.
I think so, too. I mean, Brent, I think we were talking about this earlier in the conference room was, you know, people really, unfortunately, a lot of times when we're in a bad situation, I think we might put that emotion on other people and cause, you know, if it's a marriage that's not working, instead of getting out of it with some sort of grace and friendship, we burn all bridges.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times we'll stay in a situation and it's interesting. You know, at first, maybe it feels good. It feels right. You know, and then after a while, you kind of realize you're at that point where, you know, this is not for me. This is not good. But you stay because you have this fear of, you know, what'll happen if I do leave, you know? will someone else, you know, love me the way this other person did? Will someone care for me? Will, you know, will I be able to get a job? Whatever it is. You know, I can give a personal recount real quickly of when I was in high school. I remember I worked at this ice cream shop, really popular ice cream shop. It was a really fun job. And for some reason, I stayed there for, you know, way too long. And I don't know why. And it's funny because I was really young and I'm glad I learned this lesson then. But I just stayed and then I stayed and then I stayed. And, I became, you know, bitter. And, you know, it just became a really horrible situation. And then, you know, one day, you know, I came in and then, you know, the owner, you know, said some things to me and I was just so livid. And I just, you know, put my key down. At that point, I was, you know, opening and closing this ice cream shop, and I was way too young. I don't know why he trusted me. But anyway, so I put my key down and I was like, I'm out of here. And I just remember walking out and I cried, and because I actually walked the whole way home. Because my car was in the shop and all these crazy things that day. But I'll never forget, you know, crying the whole way home saying, you know, this is not the way to leave a job. It's not the way, you know, you don't want that reputation. You don't want to be that person that bottles things up. And then all of a sudden you explode or you abandon something and you leave sores there. And, you know, it took a lot of time for me to realize, you know, what a mistake that was.
That's so true. I mean, Gerard, you were talking about that a second ago, too. We were thinking about the fact that, you know, in situations, it's better to leave on a high note, but also to maybe figure out what we actually learn in the situation.
That's exactly right. You know, there's plenty of times where people actually, they are in a situation and actually they stay for fear, or they stay because, you know, it's a great position for them. But, you know, they're not fulfilling their full potential. You know, sometimes people actually stay in situations because, you know, like Brent said earlier, because of financial purposes, you know. And I just don't think that's the way to live your life, because if you live your life that way, you're not gonna, like I say, you're not gonna reach your full potential.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that concept. You know, I mean, when you think about staying in something for fear, and you think about, we were talking about love versus fear, there's so many other accountability issues. So let's say like you're staying in for not a good reason. What's gonna really come out of that? So there's nothing that you can really extrapolate that's a positive situation. And I think that the people around you are also going to feel it as well. I mean, you and I talked about this, Matt, about doing our assessment and how to find the happiness, how to find some sort of understanding. And I think that a lot of times when people are unhappy, they're obviously getting something out of it as well.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's always an ulterior motive to, you know, everything we do in life. And an ulterior motive doesn't mean it has to be negative. It can be positive. There's something that we're getting out of the situation, you know, and that's why we're staying in it for so long.
That's so true. And what about guilt? I think guilt is a big thing. I mean, the concept of guilt, everybody has guilt to some degree. And I think that guilt is like kind of the silent killer, because it gets to us, you know?
Absolutely. I akin guilt to like the, you know, a slow death from, you know, something like, you know, the cigarettes or something that you do over time that, you know, maybe you get some kind of satisfaction. And a lot of families play the guilt game. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I want to do this, so I'm going to guilt you into doing it. And there is this, you know, kind of sick satisfaction that can come from guilting someone into doing something, because you're feeling like, you know, I deserve this. You know, there's a level of merit that you believe that is there that doesn't truly exist. And it's toxic to a relationship. And, you know, when you start to guilt each other, you know, basically you're a couple, or, you know, you're in a relationship where, you know, you're terrorizing each other. And so I've been in one of those, and, you know, playing the guilt game it's a dirty road, and you don't want to play that game.
You definitely don't want to play that. And I think also the biggest thing is that when you're like, if you're needing independence, or you're needing to deal and raise your children in a certain way, you have to have clarity. You know, you have to be able to step back and take some time for yourself. And, you know, you may feel guilty about the need of, instead of doing this or staying, you may actually feel guilty about that. But actually taking the time and having some sort of independence down that road, you know, if you don't do that, you're going to be in some sort of grave depression. You might have some sort of hostility or anger. And the anger is usually going to be toward the other people involved in the situation, which is so crucial, you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, by the time you're done with that relationship or that situation, you have turned it on its head. It's the opposite of what you wanted it to be. You know, so it's like you're staying, but then by the end, it's so negative that, you know, the initial reasons that you had for getting into the situation, a relationship, those are, you know, they're far gone in the past, you know, and you're just living in a state of fear. But yeah, I, you know, staying with someone or staying at a job because of guilt, or you feel guilty, or, you know, it's just a mistake. But, you know, I think we all have to have that experience at least once in our lives.
You know, I think that when we were talking about taking the life assessment as well, you know, what you brought up was a good concept. And we talked about love life. We talked about our career life. We talked about outside activities, hobbies, friends, activities, things like that, and about our personality. And I think that I kind of learned a lot. And I know that you were talking about this earlier, Matt, about how when you really took the assessment, even previously, I guess maybe even a year and a half ago or what have you, what you kind of learned about your life.
Well, I was, me personally, I sat down and I was like, where in my life did it go wrong? And what was my hardest part? You know, what was so hard for me to get out of that? A year and a half ago, I was working at a job that I didn't like. I was just doing it, you know, to collect a paycheck. And one of the hardest lessons I had to learn was, you know, happiness isn't a one size fit all. It's, you know, when I look at the person to my left, why are they happy? I want that. I look to the person on my right, you know, why are they so happy? But then you're reaching for something that's not meant for you. You have to look inside yourself, you know, look in the mirror and say, what's going to make Matt happy? Deep down, you know yourself, you know, my happiness isn't going to be the same as your happiness, Ashley. You know,
wow, that's, I cannot say how true that is. And, you know, it's not a one size fit all, fits all. You know, we all have basic human needs, but then, you know, you build upon what's important to you. You know, I used to judge people a lot and, you know, money makes this person happier. You know, sex makes this person happy. But, you know, by judging other people, that won't make me happy. You know, whatever, you know, is it whatever is working for them? You know, if it works for them, you know, that's fine. But you have to worry about yourself and decide your own kind of fate. And, you know, you can't base, you know, what you want based on what's making other people happy, because you know it won't work for you. You have to look deep inside yourself, and that's a lesson I'm constantly relearning.
You have to define your own happiness. It comes down to that, Ashley.
I agree with you, and I think also you can't sweat the small stuff. Okay, yeah. So like right now we're sitting in a studio that all the computers are not working. We can't even go to break. We're having to elongate this segment as long as possible. So if you're wondering why we haven't gone to commercial, there's a reason for that. And you know what? We have engineers running in and out of the studio all the time here. They're actually going downstairs to try to figure out the technical difficulty. I could lose it right now if I wasn't putting my priorities in the right place, right?
Right.
I mean, how many times have I been talked to on the other side of, you know, these headphones here?
Right.
You know, so sometimes when I stop speaking for a second, you know, it's because somebody else is talking to me. But, you know, it's like in life, you have to sit there and put things into perspective. What really matters? Hey, we're on the air. We're having this conversation. It doesn't matter that we can't go to commercial. I mean, yes, for the people that are paying for the commercials, it's kind of a difficult situation. We'll have to get back to that. But we'll get back to it next week, and I'm sure it'll all work out. So we were going to change this whole thing, and it looks like we have a call coming in, but we don't have anybody to answer the phone, but I'm going to definitely try to make that happen right now. But, you know, so we can – my whole concept and my mantra was that, you know, I want complete clarity. I want no regrets. You know, I want lots of fun and lots of love. And that's what somebody asked me the other day, and I just wrote that out. And I think that, you know, the last thing I want to do is sit back and say, man, I really missed something. I really missed this opportunity. It might not have even been a good opportunity. It could have been a totally screwed up situation, or it could have been a good opportunity. It could have been a learning opportunity. It could have been a loss. It could have been anything. But at the same time, I don't ever know. And I don't know. You don't know until you try. You don't know until you check it out. Go and look at it. You know, you don't know if something's real. I was kidding around with somebody the other day. You don't know if it's a sandwich. You know, it's a good sandwich, or there might be like a rat in it. You know, you don't know.
Tastes like chicken.
I love how you just went straight to rat. It's hilarious.
Rat. The other white meat.
You know, there was something that I read the other day, and it was, you know, forgiveness is learning to tell the other person, you know, thank you for that experience. And I was like, wow, you know, how powerful is that? And I think that whether it's a good experience or a positive experience, you know, we all say that, you know, thank you for that experience. And, you know, the whole idea of the show is perspectives. And, you know, without those experiences, then we have no perspective. We have an ignorant perspective. And so it's, you know, I'm just learning to say that to people, whether, you know, they've screwed me over or they've done me a world of good. I'm like, thank you for that experience. Honestly, thank you so much for that experience, because I'm smarter because of it. And, you know, hopefully I'm a better and, you know, the better person for it.
I love that. And it's all about perspective, and it's all about a learning process. I mean, that's what this whole world is about, right? We meet people, we learn about things, and we learn about ourselves, really.
Right.
I mean, I think when something really bothers us, is because it bothers us because somehow or not it actually is connected to us.
Very, very true. Very true. I honestly believe that myself, because there's plenty of times where I've been in situations where, you know, actually in relationship situations where I wasn't connected with the person, but I was still tried to make it work, you know, and I'm pretty sure everybody's been in that situation before where they still tried to make something work, even though they got all the clear signs that it was not working. You know, we get into that mode to where, you know, if we work harder on something, that it'll happen. So just because it's not happening doesn't mean that, you know, you should keep on trying. Sometimes you just have to learn to let go. You know, if you let go, great situations will happen. Some people don't want to do that. Some people want to keep on trying, but, you know, some people just can't let go. And then you just have to force yourself to let go. And that's the hard part that people have.
You know, it's like it's beating so a dead horse. It's like the horse died 5 years ago. Leave it alone.
It's, the carcass is starting to stink, you guys.
Jesus. Some people just need to get over it, you know?
And that's the hardest for me. It really is, you know? It's the hardest for me to let go of something that I put so much effort into and then, you know, walk away from it. But, you know, again, thank you for that experience.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's attitude of gratitude. There you go.
I like that. I like that.
So. That's so true. And it's like figuring out when you're supposed to get out of something. And it's also figuring out maybe when you should just relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You know, because the other day, I guess it was on Friday, I was trying to get to the Mavericks game, all this stuff. Anyway, long story short, it was a small thing, but 2 hours in traffic and everything else. And I just was trying to force the envelope to the whole situation. Just force. But then actually every single thing to every single degree worked out completely meticulously correct. And had I had pushed it by 1 minute faster, I mean, like, literally, I get in the cab, and the guy starts driving, like, 2 miles an hour. And then he takes the highway to get to the stadium.
Oh, then
we're in a bunch of traffic, and then I just said a soliloquy out loud. And then eventually we get here, but everything works out, you know? Yeah. And I have to realize, if it's traffic, if it's your job, whatever, but like you say, Gerard, if you're staying in a marriage or you're staying in a situation that the other person is not working with you, as well as this situation itself is maybe possibly toxic, or there's something you're getting out of it, but it's definitely not helping you, you got to kind of reassess your life and say, hey, at what point in time did I acquire these thoughts in my head that I need this to be whatever? And what is this fulfilling? Is this fulfilling some sort of need? You know,
exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, it, you know, brings you back to your core of what's the purpose, you know, everything in life has to have, you know, and I always think of, you know, keep the end in mind, you know, where is this leading me? Is this leading me down a road of, you know, the way we're going? I mean, am I going to be this haggard person that's, you know, bitter and, you know, resentful? You know, nobody wants to be that person, but, you know, how many people have we met in our lives that have ended up becoming that person? You know, it's like, surely you weren't, you know, this kind of, you know, nag or, you know, negative nanny, you know, when you were younger. So, you know, I think people start off with the best of intentions, and it's like, you know, you don't want to let go. So, you nag your husband, you nag your boyfriend, or you yell at your boss or you yell at your employee when you really should let go, you know? And it's just like when a relationship ends, or if you fire someone, sometimes, you know, that's, you're doing them a favor. You're fired because you're not good at your job. And by firing you, you're going to know that. And, you know, for your next go round, you'll realize that you got to step up your game.
Yeah. You know, we aren't the first people here. We're not going to be the last people here. We got examples around us everywhere. And if we can just open our eyes and realize that, hey, my friend made a mistake. Well, I need to learn from my friend's mistake and not make it myself. You know, we all have so many people in our lives. If we just, you know, open up our mind of consciousness and, you know, be familiar more with our surroundings, we'd see that, you know, life gives us enough examples to succeed. Everybody around us, you know, we have people who succeed, we have people who fail. And it's, if we just open our eyes more, you know, be more conscious of our surroundings and the people in our lives, we would do great, you know, greater as a people, because we would live by example and the example of others.
That's so true. That's a very valuable lesson. And I think also, like we were talking about before, the concepts of when you're able to actually see what it is that's maybe causing this turmoil, you can actually kind of zero in on maybe what a life lesson is.
Yeah.
Consequently, because I think we have these lessons, and I think until we learn them, they keep coming around over and over and over again in one shape or another. Sometimes it can be the same person teaching you the same lesson over and over again.
Yeah, that's good.
True. Like yeah. That. No, so true.
Yeah.
So true. It's interesting. I was on liveyourtruelife.org, which is a great website, and I was looking through, you know, the articles, and Ashley, obviously, you know, you wrote these, and it's just interesting how, you know, a lot of your messages, you know, reaching a point of balance and a point of, you know, reflection, you know, and how important that is. You know, and sometimes it's just like, you know, being silent and kind of getting yourself out of that moment of rage or anger or sadness and letting you reflect on really what the problem is, because, you know, if you're just rushing through life and you're rushing through wanting this and wanting that, you can never find the core of your issues. So, I mean, I think reflection is a big part of this, you know, whatever it is, you know, take a step back and really reflect before you take action, and then, you know, go about your business and, you know, on that correct road. So I don't know.
So true.
You know, and when we're on the path of living our true life, miracles will start to happen. You know, whatever form that may be, if you believe in God, you believe it's God's hand. Mm-hmm. If you believe in the universe, the energy will start coming. Whatever that may be for you, when you're on the path to living your true life, miracles in your life will start to happen and come from that.
Yes, I definitely agree with that also. There's so many times where myself, I actually was in I was telling Brent earlier, I was in a job position where I was just intact with it. I loved it. I loved what I did. I got promoted every year that I was there. Everything was great. I wasn't fulfilling my full potential. Like I was telling them, I was going to school, but I had cut back on classes because I was working so much. And then it was just, I got fired from that job, actually. And being fired from that job was the best thing that could ever happen to me, because that actually opened more opportunities for me, which is what I'm doing now. And I was telling them, if I hadn't got fired, I would still be there at that job, still making, okay money, but not great money, but sometimes, the signs that are there aren't the signs that we want to be there, that's why I feel, listen to all the signs, like you said, reflect on everything. If something bad happens, take a step back, reflect on it, just say, this happened before, or this happened to one of my friends, how can I take this and channel it to make something great happen for me in the future?
That's awesome.
I was watching an interview with Delilah, and she said that she was fired 7 to 12 times from her, past. And, she's super successful, so she learned something out of it, Like, first time, shame on me. Second time, shame on me. Third time, well, Jesus.
Shame on someone.
Just shame. Yeah. Just plain old shame.
Holy hand grenade, Superman. So, we were talking about work, and so work is really cool. So let's talk about a good work environment. When somebody creates a good work environment, that says something. And recently, in the Dallas Business Journal, the second year in a row to win Best Places to Work, Dr. Edelglass, actually is a cosmetic surgeon here in Dallas, has two locations of his corporation called Skintastic, both back in Plano and Uptown. And Dr. Edelglass is joining us on the phone. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Ashley. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm glad to have you on. I'm sorry you're having to deal with our technical difficulties. All the computers are down. We're not able to go to break or anything. So we appreciate you coming on with us in this live, interesting scenario. But, the first thing I always wanted to know is what makes you happiest at work, Dr. A?
Well, I'm so lucky to have the job that I have. I've already achieved a level of success in my life that I can really now concentrate and enjoy my patients the way I've always dreamed of. And, patients come in wanting to be more beautiful with a lack of self-esteem, with self-doubt, and I can make them more beautiful, both on the outside and as well as they are on the inside.
That's awesome. That's a really amazing career to have, because when you can change people's lives like that for such a big good, because a lot of times people internalize maybe small flaws, facial flaws, skin flaws that we have, and make that a detriment, So when you think about your work, so I would have to ask you, what makes you the happiest, helping people?
Well, absolutely. A lot of people don't realize, and I always say, this is not magic, it's medicine. And sometimes by giving people the self-confidence really helps them. It helps them in their work. Countless number of people come back and tell me that they were able to go back to work. They feel better about themselves, the way they interact with other people, and it helps them in both their personal and professional life. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot. For example, sometimes it's just a little symmetry problem. One brow's a little higher than the other. And these are simple things to fix. Sometimes it's a little bit more. But having 30 years of experience, I know what to do, how much to do. No one wants to look plastic. No one wants to look fake. Everyone wants a natural, beautiful look like nothing was done. And that's really what we specialize in. Little bit of improvement can make an awful lot of difference to one's life and the attitude.
You know, Dr. Edelglass, you know, that's really true that we are really the toughest critic. You know, we're the toughest critic on ourselves. Every time you look in the mirror, you know, you see those imperfections. And some people might not even see it. Some people might not even know what you're talking about. But, you know, that can change your self-esteem. So I've recently heard that you, y'all just won a best place to work, I think, in Dallas by the Dallas Business Journal.
Yes, we did. But, you know, you said something very interesting before that. When they look in the mirror, they see their fault. One of the best feelings I get and the best thing that happens is after I'm finished with a patient, I give them a mirror to look, and they look in the mirror and they say, wow, that gives me the chills. I really love it every time that that happens. But now back to your questions. You know, with all the experience that I have, I think the reason why we won Best Place to Work is because over the years we've been able to put together a team that shares a common goal. My wife, Barbara, is our aesthetic director, and she helps to give us a direction in beauty and confidence, great liaison from me to the patients. We really are like a family, and that shows you the confidence that our staff has in the company. And they also take great personal satisfaction and happiness from our happy patients.
Oh, that's amazing, Dr. Edelglass. Well, hey, I'd like to have you back on in an upcoming show of ours, and I really appreciate your expertise and like you to join us again here in the future to discuss some more things about life, happiness, and really finding that happy thing in our life, really changing our lives.
Well, you know, some of my friends in medicine do life-saving things, but the little things that I'm able to do are cosmetic, but I consider them to be great things and great for people's lives, both inside and some of the other things we do to change outside as well as inside. And we're always researching new medicines and new aesthetic things to help people into the future.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and looking forward to having you on here in the next couple of shows. And I appreciate it. And I hope you have a great night, Dr. Edelglass.
Thanks, Ashley.
Bye. You take care. Bye-bye.